All right. As we mentioned in the introduction, coming up on May 16th, families, friends, and individuals from across Fairfield County are going to gather at Stamford's Cove Island Park, a beautiful location for the 9th Annual Epilepsy Walk and Purple Picnic for the Epilepsy Foundation of Connecticut. And we are pleased to talk with one of the folks that's involved with that event. To begin our program, Danielle Blaine is with us. Her daughter, Gabby, is living with epilepsy, and we are going to have a conversation about that. And then we're going to bring in a very special guest. Yes, Olympic ice hockey goaltender Shonda Gunn is going to be with us. She's a Hall of Famer and is going to talk about her journey with epilepsy. And she is also going to be the featured keynote speaker at the upcoming walk down at Cove Island Park. We'll get into all of that conversation right after we tell you about our friends at Reset, Connecticut's nonprofit entrepreneurial support organization assisting social entrepreneurs. And they have announced that their Beyond Business as Usual 2026 event, Scaling Resilient Entrepreneurship, a one-day summit, is taking place Thursday, May 7th from 9 to 3:30 at the Connecticut State Community College Gateway in New Haven. It's hosted during National Small Business Week. Beyond Business as Usual 2026 is going to feature three main stage panels with state officials, mission-driven funders, policy advocates, and entrepreneurs, alongside an interactive breakout experience called The Trading Post, where attendees can workshop their most pressing business challenges in small group roundtables facilitated by subject matter experts. Want to go there? Registration is open now. Just go to resetco.org/BBAU. All right. Good morning, Danielle. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, John. Thanks so much for having me.
So just a few weeks away from what we all are putting our energy towards and begging Mother Nature is a gorgeous spring morning at Cove Island Park. I have attended many events there and hosted a few myself. Congratulations on being named along with your daughter as a kind of co-hosts of the event. Let's talk a little bit about epilepsy first, because as we kind of talked a little bit about before we turned on the microphone, folks who live in the world of epilepsy are all too familiar with all of it has to do with. But a lot of folks who aren't have varying degrees of ideas about what epilepsy is. If I was to just, bump into you and strike up a conversation and learned that your family was living with epilepsy, what would you tell me about the condition?
Well, first of all, what's surprising about this is the most common serious brain disorder worldwide, and it affects everybody equally. There's, it's equal opportunity, young, old, no matter your race, what country you live in. There are 3.4 million people in America that are affected by epilepsy, even more than multiple sclerosis, cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, and Parkinson's disease combined. Yet, a lot of people don't know about it because it's been a little bit stigmatized and people don't talk about it as much, which is too bad because it's so common. One in 26 people nationwide will develop epilepsy at some point in their life. Here in Connecticut, there are 60,000 children and adults that live with epilepsy. And I'd say, sadly, more than 30% of those individuals have tried medication and they are not seizure free. So we really like to put our effort, time, research, and in helping those people for sure. It's a neurological condition, epilepsy, which involves recurrent seizure activity in the brain. It can present very differently in individuals. It can be staring spells, uncontrolled movements, loss of consciousness, and then the grand mal seizures, as they used to be called, that you would see in a movie where people are on the floor and seizing. That is a type of epilepsy as well. But it's different for everybody. There's no one type of epilepsy. Some people are very well controlled on their medications. Others, as we said, are not controlled at all, and a lot of people are in the middle. And those, I would say, my daughter Gabby is one of those people that started Probably around age 11, having absence seizures, which are staring spells, but they were so brief that we didn't really pick up on it right away because she was a shy child to begin with, so it wasn't surprising that she wasn't talking sometimes. But looking back on it, I remember when she was at school, one of the women she was working with in a book club was asking her questions and she wasn't answering. And I thought that was just because she was shy. But looking back now, I realized she was starting to have absence seizures. And those went on to tonic-clonic jerks, I'd say probably like a year to two later with the jerking movements of your hands. But still, we weren't sure what this was. And we knew there probably was a medication to help with the jerking, but my daughter didn't want to go on medications. So it took until probably around 13 when the jerking movements got more severe. She was dropping things that we went to a neurologist and at Yale. And he basically asked us three questions and said she has juvenile myoclonic epilepsy. And at that point, she wasn't having grand mal seizures. But soon after that, as she reached high school, she was started to have those as well. I'd say it took a number of years to find the right medication for her. Unfortunately, you can spend a lot of time not being able to go to school or participate because the different drugs can make you so zoned out. And so finally, now here we are, you know, years later, and she is a good combination of medication, which is great. It took her a lot longer to graduate college, but she did. So it's a great success story for her. But through all this and starting 10 years ago, you know, we said, what can we do to help other people and how can we get involved? Because you feel like you're the only one who has it. And then when you realize the statistics that there's so many people out there that have it, how can we bring them together? So we contacted the Epilepsy Foundation of Connecticut and heard they were having a walk in Stanford. And that is how we started to get involved 10 years ago. And it's been amazing meeting so many people with all different types of seizures and just how they are, they're heroes for what they do on a daily basis, getting up, not knowing if they're going to have a seizure and going on, you know, to try to reach their goals.
Well, as you and Gabby are also not just co-hosts or co-chairs of the upcoming Epilepsy Walk and Purple Picnic, you're also co-heroes because, you know, Gabby couldn't have gotten to the point she is in her life right now without you and your family. But it is something to be said of her character and her resilience to be able to get through it. The question that I've been dying to ask now for a few minutes is, when this kind of thing hits a young woman at the age when so much is going on in their physical and their emotional and their social worlds, how were you able to move through just that entire breaking of news and the transition of her learning about epilepsy and accepting it in herself so that she's able to get to this wonderful benchmark where she's at today?
She was actually relieved to get a diagnosis because before this, people were like, oh, you're stressed out, just do yoga. And I was in that boal too, because before she had grand mal seizures, we didn't recognize the behavior of the staring spells and some jerking to be a form of epilepsy. So it slowly started with trying her medications. And then you just have to, like you said, be resilient and just keep at it. And if one combination doesn't work for you, there are several that don't work for people that you just keep trying. And neurologists have, luckily, there are a lot of new medications out there that can be very helpful, but everybody is unique. And I think by finding the Epilepsy Foundation and just also meeting, even in town, you suddenly all these people come forth and like, oh, I heard that your daughter has epilepsy. You're now the contact for those people in town. And we would get together for coffee and talk about what they've seen. Some of the girls were older than Gabby, so they would talk about what you might see as they go through puberty later on in their dating. I mean, it's, you know, women obviously are going to be affected differently than men, but Gabby just has one type of epilepsy, and there are some that infants get when they're first born, and they're seizing all the time, and that's just heartbreaking. And I think that you try to do what you can for yourself, take your medications, you need to get sleep. That's one of the biggest triggers for people is lack of sleep. You get older, that's harder to do.
Yeah.
But that is really important. So taking care of yourself, getting lots of sleep, and avoiding triggers. But I think by having some purpose in helping others has been huge for all of us to do, and meeting the people at the Epilepsy Foundation. We're fortunate we have a new executive director, James Hart, who's got a lot of energy. He was just at the Capitol yesterday for Advocacy Day for Epilepsy.
Yes.
And they're on top of all the bills to help support people with epilepsy, but also it's largely people with disabilities, too. And one of the most important things is focusing on keeping the choice of medication available to all people, because one medication does not work for all people. So that's great work that they're doing there.
So coming to the walk is a great way for folks who may know someone living with epilepsy or a family living with epilepsy. It's a great way to support them, but it's also an opportunity for folks who just like to do good and who like to learn and become more informed in the world to join with folks. They'll not only meet you and Gabby and Olympic ice hockey star Shonda Gunn, who we'll talk to in just a minute, but in this last minute that we have with you, Danielle Blaine, tell us why it is such a great event for folks who may want to learn more about epilepsy.
I think it's coming together for community. A lot of people some people have kept epilepsy as a secret. Some people just haven't met another person with epilepsy. And it's so inspiring to be surrounded by people with epilepsy, but friends, family, you know, everybody is affected by something at some point, and 1 in 26 people will be affected by epilepsy at some point, and they will know somebody with epilepsy. So it's great for them to come together. It's a fun walk. People can bring their dogs. They should probably go to the Epilepsy Foundation of Connecticut website and sign up to register for that. Yeah. And we're going to have a purple picnic with box lunches. And, you know, we're excited to have Shonda Gunn there, too.
Right.
She has done incredible work with children and teens, especially in the Boston area.
Right. Well, we'd love to invite everyone listening down to Cove Island Park in Stamford on May 16th for this 9th annual Epilepsy Walk and Purple Picnic. The walk kicks off at 9. Bring your furry friends and family members as well. There's going to be activities for kids. As we said, a great speaker who we'll speak with in just a few moments. Lunch will be provided, and advanced registration is available now at epilepsyct.com. We're so pleased to meet one of the two co-chairs of the event, Danielle Blaine, whose daughter, Gabrielle Gabby, is also co-chairing the event and making such incredible strides and really being a living example of how folks who are impacted by epilepsy have an opportunity to really succeed and have a fantastic life and to prove that this is not a condition that defines them. So thank you so much for your time this morning, Danielle, and we'll hopefully see you at the walk. Well, as promised, we are now on the line with Shonda Gunn. She's an Olympic ice hockey goaltender, Hall of Fame athlete, and longtime epilepsy advocate who turned her personal journey with epilepsy into a life of leadership, service, and inspiration. You can meet her and hear from her at the Epilepsy Foundation of Connecticut's Walk and Purple Picnic, as we've been talking about, coming up on May 16th in Stamford. And Shonda, just such a great pleasure to meet you. Your history is storied. Your perseverance and progress in working with and dealing with epilepsy brought you to the U.S. Women's National Team. You became a gold medalist in 2005 at the World Championships, and then won a bronze on behalf of the United States with Team USA at the 2006 Olympic Winter Games in Turin, Italy. But through it all, and all the way back till when you were diagnosed at age 9, you have been fighting a much different fight than you may have there defending goals on the hockey ice. Let's talk about your diagnosis. At age 9, do you have a recollection of how you began to cope with when you learned that you were having suffering with epilepsy?
I do have some very specific memories of being diagnosed, and I think in my journey with epilepsy, it's not uncommon. It's affected me differently at different points in my life, and in so many different ways, both in seizure frequency and then the way that I was able to understand and cope. And you know, we talk about epilepsy and stigma, and at the age of 9, I only sort of had the experience of you know, 9 years, you know, everything that happened to me, I didn't know didn't happen to everybody. Mm. And so what I remember about my diagnosis was not necessary, was, you know, the blood tests were a big thing for me, you know, like if I was going to get my blood drawn was the center of every conversation. And then it was really how other people reacted or how other people talked about me having epilepsy as being, you know, demonstrating grief. Then I sort of would get scared because I felt like I should also have grief when at the time I was having primarily absence seizures with very few tonic-clonic seizures. But my entire experience of having a condition was other people's reactions. And other than that, I was just a kid. It was more about what I could do and what I wasn't allowed to do. Mm. But I didn't know that everybody wasn't having seizures, you know, because yes. I had such a limited exposure to life.
Yeah, very much similar to your co-host of the Epilepsy Walk and Purple Picnic down in Stanford, Gabby Blaine, who was diagnosed at a very young age, but who didn't begin suffering more significant seizures until several years later. You had a similar situation when you came to college, right?
Yes, I think the other thing, and when you talk about awareness, it's what you want to make people aware of, and for me, a lot of it is medical literacy. So it's not only how to treat people with respect and the impact that, you know, inclusion and how you treat people has on their own life and the way that they approach their medical condition, but also medical literacy of understanding what seizures are and what symptoms of seizures were. And I'm sure that there were a number of years I was having seizures, but wasn't even able to recognize it as a medical condition until I started having more frequent tonic clonics. And then it was the same thing. It was how everybody else was responding to it. And then I had to, you know, sort of figure out really what changes in my life and lifestyle I had to make to continue to be able to do what I wanted to do.
And what were those changes, or at least the major ones that you believe made the greatest and best difference?
That made difference in seizure control, of course, sleep. You hear everybody talk about it, and there's some people that struggle with insomnia, and they would, you know, but you really have to leave that party early and get, you know, I have to get 10 hours of sleep, which seems like a luxury, but it's an absolute necessity for me. Mm. I've never had, I think, really more than a sip of alcohol in my life. Mm. Alcohol is out of the question. Making sure that I take my medication, which seems a lot easier than it is. You know, it's so easy to just forget one thing, and that can be life-threatening.
Right.
And then I had to find different ways to achieve my goals. You know, there are things like currently I'm not driving, but I get around, you know, very easily. I live in a city where
You know, on day one, might I have been more of a suburb or country girl? Probably, but I'm very happy here and able to sort of reach my goals by making some accommodations.
Very good. Well, it's incredible to have you come to this event. We're talking about this Epilepsy Foundation of Connecticut Walk and Purple Picnic that's happening on May 16th in Stamford. We hope that folks who aren't necessarily impacted or who have little knowledge of epilepsy will come out and bring family and friends so that they can learn more about this and become armchair advocates in their own right, if nothing more than to at least become more educated about it, because every single person who is helps to further destigmatize the condition for everyone, this massive amount of our population who are impacted or who will be impacted in the future. So, Shonda Gunn, wonderful to have a few moments to talk with you. Can't wait to hear what you have to say at the picnic, and thank you so much for being part of the program. Folks, once again, if you would like to attend this event, we urge you to get yourselves ready, get your family or your office mates or friends involved. Please bring your pets because they are welcome, and sign up for this walk coming up on Saturday, May 16th. It steps off at 9 a.m. at Cove Island Park in Stamford. EpilepsyCT.com is the website to go to for all the information and registration. Shonda, thank you so much for your time this morning, and we'll see you at the walk.
Yeah, thank you for having me.